Yosef Mishbitza. And we even touched upon one of the teachings, one or two of the teachings of his family, his son, the Rebbe Yankel Mishbitza, the grandson of the Rebbe Gershon Hanuch. And I wanted to conclude, in the meantime, we'll come back, Hadron Allah, Marach Yosef Mishbitza, the Hadron Chalan. But I wanted to conclude the these discussions on the Mishbitza with this piece from Parshas Emor, which is not negated to one of the subjects per se that we were doing in the writings of the Mishbitza, but it's a good way to prepare for the Yontifs in general, and it's a certain way to prepare for life, as you'll see. Just to learn it as sweetly and as simply as possible. Something which I think you could take with you. I know that when I first saw this Torah, when you first see it, we're going to learn it together, but you have to chaz it over a few times. When you review it, it's the kind of a thing that, you know, you need to fold into a little thing to put into your wallet and to carry it around with you. And when things get a little bit difficult, you chaz over this piece from the Meir Shiloach. It's a lot of chizik. The Rebbe writes, "Basidra hazois yesh chamish parshiyos ad parshas hamayados." Emor is an interesting parsha because what you have there at the end of Emor, you all know, you have the main section of Torah that goes to all the yontivs, which we're going to be reading on yontiv. But before you get to the Yomim Tovim in Parshas Emor, you have five distinct parshios. You have five subjects that the Torah discusses before coming to the Moados. V'heim neged hei minei tarumais sheyuchal himotzei b'leiv ha'odam al midais shel Kodesh Baruch Hu. And the Rebbe says that these five subsections of the parsha correspond to five types of complaints that a human being could have against God. Five tarumos. Five types of pain and anguish that we have in our relationship with Hashem. A tarumos means a complaint, a taina. So I numbered them. One, HaParsha HaRishona HuMinafsho Smeis. You recall that the first parsha there discusses the tumah, the impurity that descends into the world when a person dies, that person is tamei meis. That's the highest level of impurity. Of course, it's called avi avos hatumah, and that tumah, of course, has the power to render other people and other things tamei. And the Torah there at the beginning tells us that the halachas of to whom a kohen is allowed to become tamei, and to whom is he not allowed to become tamei if someone in his family dies, and so on. So a parasha rishon hu minashos meis. It deals with death. Hu neged taruma sheyesh b'leiv ha'odam al hamisa v'haheder hamotzu ba'olam. The first section of Parshas Emor, which talks about death and the tumah that death brings, corresponds to probably the greatest complaint and the most troubling difficulty that we have, and this is borne out by all the existentialists in modern times who claim that the greatest fear that a human being has and the greatest source of anxiety is the eventuality of death. The eventuality of death simply contradicts all that we know about Hashem. Hashem is light, Hashem is life, Hashem is hope, and Hashem is giving more and more chances. Chanan Hamar B'Lislawach. A person is in this world for a few years, and just when things are starting to work out, and it looks like there's some tachlis, and he finally has a little bit of seichel after getting through all the narishkeit of his younger or her younger years, and finally the person has come to a point of clarity and a point of truth. So davka, at that time, that life is taken, and this presence of death in the world is the source of a tremendous outcry in the part of all human beings. That Hashem is an Elokim Chayim, is Chalebedeke. The Baruch Shalom is a living God, and everything about Him is life. And He's a Melech Chofetz B'Chayim, He desires life. And yet he has hanging over us the eventuality of death. And that presence of death in our lives, and the all heder, which is in the world, all heder, which means something going, something disintegrating and dying and disappearing. Death is something that defies our feelings about Hashem and our way of understanding the goodness of Hashem. So because of death, there's a terumas b'lev ha'adam. There is a sometimes subtle complaint, and sometimes it's not so subtle. Complaint against the Creator that he would bring such a thing into our lives to tear us apart and to cause us such fear and anxiety. Come in.
You should take it.
That's the first thing. Alamisa v'heder amotze ba'olam. So the first parasha deals with death and the tumor that death brings. You take, show on it one of the pages and take for yourself. Parasha hashenis. Okay, so that's the first of the five subsections in the beginning of Parshas Emor. The first one deals with the impurity of death. And the impurity of death means man's inability to cope and to understand, to cope with and understand why should the living God bring such a terrible thing into the world to cut short the life of a productive person. And because of death, we have a terumas, we have a complaint. Even though we don't always say it, but there's a complaint in the heart of a human being that there is death in the world. Two, Uparasha Hashenis, we're in that piece 5-6 lines down, Uparasha Hashenis, Himi Baal Mum. The second section of Parshas Emor deals with a Baal Mum. A Kohen who has a blemish. But a blemish, the type of a deformity that renders him puzzle for avodah, that he cannot serve in the Beis HaMikdash. He's allowed to eat the meat of the sacrifices, but he's puzzled for avodah, that he can't serve in the temple. So what does this mean? So he says, Uparasha Hashenis Mibal Mum Sheyuchal Himotse Belibo Taruma Yisal Midoisir Shal Kadosh Baruch Hu. The Kohen who is deformed has what it seems every right to have a complaint against Hashem, to have a terumas, to feel that something was done that's not fair. Why? Achasher his not to begeza Aaron. Sof kol sof, here the Kohen looks at himself. And the Kohen says, look, I am a descendant of Aaron HaKohen. I'm a descendant of Aaron HaKohen. I have this unbelievable holy blood streaming through my veins. And the purpose of the existence of the family of Aaron is to serve Hashem in the most intimate way by being in the Beis HaMikdash. So look, Hashem made me to a Kohen, right? He brought me into the family of Aaron HaKohen. And therefore, I have been prepared from the time of creation through my family to be a Kohen that's going to serve Hashem. Lama bara by mum. So why would Hashem do this? It's like a God forbid, like a cruel trick. Hashem made me to a Kohen, so I'm all psyched, I'm all excited, and I'm all prepared to go to the Beis HaMikdash. And Hashem is screaming day and night that all he wants us to do is to serve him. That's all he wants. We should serve him. Okay, I'm ready to go. I'm a Kohen, and I would love to go to the Beis HaMikdash. And I have this problem. I have a mum, whatever the mum is, whatever that mum. I have a problem. I have a deformity. Hashem created me in a way that I'm deformed, or there's something happened to him and he's deformed. So lama baro by mum sheyimna yisay mizeh kedusha. Why would Hashem want to keep me away from holiness? And He prepared me for holiness. Sakosav, I'm a Kohen. So He prepared me for holiness, and then He's like holding it, dangling it before my eyes, and I can't have it. Ki kedushas Kohen ha'oved ein l'shayer. Who could measure the holiness of a Kohen serving in the Beis HaMikdash? Kumoshinira should see a lot on Hashem's Baruch Achilas Mitzvahs, Achilas Matzahs, Kama Kedushiyesh B'zeh Achila. Look, even when it comes to eating matzah, which every Jew can do to eat matzah, just to eat matzah. The only, you know, there's the only real achila of holiness that we have left from the Torah, with the exception of Erev Yom Kippur. But the only daraisa commandment, the only Torah commandment that we really have as far as the object of the food itself is concerned. Yom Kippur, it's a mitzvah from the Torah to eat, but the actual physical object, it's a mitzvah to devour, is matzah. And there are a million things written in the Svarim about matzah. Ainless shire, who could even measure? And that's something which is shaykh to every Jew to eat a piece of matzah, to eat a kazayis matzah. And we read in all the Svarim that all the worlds are trembling when a Jew eats a piece of matzah. V'kosher ken achilas kodshe shemayim. And how much more so to eat something which is mamash a korban? That a kohen has the ability to eat a korban, to mamish, to put a korban into his mouth. Kamosha Mitzina Begumara, Shetzovcha Hazor Yikonis Vyemole Kreisa Mikodja Shamayim. It says in the Gemara that the Azor, that the courtyard of the temple used to scream, obviously not in a way that could be taped, but the courtyard used to scream, calling upon the Kohanim to come into the Beis HaMikdash and fill your stomachs with the flesh of the shlomim, of the korbanos, of the sacrifices. So near Mizeh we see, Eich yakarhu b'nei Hashem achilas kodshim. We see how precious it is in Hashem's eyes, the eating of kodshim, of a korban. V'kol shekin ha'kon ha'oved, kama kedusha yimtza b'y b'avados al Hashem. How much holiness there was in the kohen serving Hashem. So what happens to this kohen who wakes up and finds that he has this mum, this deformity? So he says, this kohen could very well have a bitter complaint against the Creator, against Hashem. Now look, a kohen with a mum is allowed to eat the korban. So it's almost like teasing him. I'm allowed to eat the carbon, but I can't be involved in the process that brings this carbon to a stage where it can be eaten. And the avoda of the carbon is, the avoda, Engla Shire, its greatness, its holiness. So there's a terumus, there's a complaint in the heart of a kohen. He might not speak to anybody about it. He doesn't tell anyone. But he wonders, what kind of a God is this that would create me as a kohen? I'm allowed to eat from the kodshim. But I can't do anything to bring this physical object to a level of kodshim, because I'm not allowed to bring a korban. A kohen with a mum is not allowed to sacrifice. So there's a terumus in the heart. There are different types of mumim. Some of them are not we might not consider it to be major injuries, but a lot of them have to do with certain problems with the deformities of the flesh. Certain kind of, there are also a certain internal disease that would render the kohen.
Not necessarily something that you can see. It could be like a stutter, or that's not considered
physical. Yeah, there it could be. It's not necessarily something which is immediately detectable to the eye, but it's something which is known, which becomes known. But it might not be detectable to a person who sees this. But the kohen is absolutely devastated by the fact that everything is ready and he's a kohen and he has this deformity, whatever that is.
But if Hashem, like, doesn't look at people what they look like, then why is the kohen perfect for the servant? Like Hashem looks at the
people. You know something? That's probably one of the complaints that the kohen has. You're right. Good. You know, we could explain this, we could talk about it. Why is it that there has to be a certain physical perfection, a certain minimal physical perfection when serving the Beis HaMikdash, just as you have with the Navi. There's certain physical requirements with the Prophet as well. But I would rather go along with you. I would rather be, that's part of the complaint most likely. In other words, this kohen I'm sure is thinking, listen, I've been through the whole Shas, Musar, Chassidus, I've done all I can, I daven 3 times a day, I make my brachas, I'm a good boy. So really Hashem, can't we work this out? Can't we work this out? You created me. Like it says in the Gemara about the fellow that it happened, that one of the Chacham commented that about somebody, why he said it is strange, but he said about someone that he was very, very ugly. So the person who was a simple person responded, why don't you speak to the one who made me? If you have complaints, speak to the one who made me. We understand it. HaKadosh Baruch Hu made the person with such a deformity. And that is the complaint. You're right. His complaint is, why should that be? Why should that be the criteria for serving the Beis HaMikdash? I'm seeking holiness, and I'm one of the children of those who are holy. And from those who are holy, I'm a descendant of Aaron HaKohen. That's the complaint. The third complaint that a person might have is the third parsha of the third section of Parshas Emor. So far we have the first two sections of Parshas Emor. The first one deals with death and the impurity that death brings, and that's the universal complaint of all mankind, that death is unfair. Death is sudden, death is unfair, it's cruel that a person's life should end. That dreams and hopes and aspirations are all stopped, are all killed. So that's the first complaint. That's the first parasha that deals with death and the tomb that death brings. The second parasha we just did, that deals with the complaint that a Baal Mum would have, that a person who has a deformity. Now you have to understand that for people like ourselves, because you're thinking maybe this just has to do with the Kohen, but you and I don't have any complaints. So let's try to make this a little bit more nogeitas. Sometimes you want good things, but you're born in a certain kind of a family. I had this all the time with students of mine in Ezra in school, that they're the most wonderful kids in the world, and they want so barely to live a certain life, and they don't know how to do it because their parents are not letting them, or there are other things that are in the way, you know. And they said, look, if I would be born in Gula in Mei Sharim, I'd be able to live a certain way. Or how about a person that's born with a certain, that wants so desperately to be able to learn Torah and to understand Torah on a deep level, but the person has a certain intellectual handicap? And they could tell you all the stories in the world that the Netziv didn't know that wasn't smart, and this one wasn't smart. The bottom line is that it's very, very hard. And you have people that want very barely to learn and to become, and then they're not able to. And they say, listen, I don't understand. What do you want from me? You're telling me I'm supposed to do something. You want me to do something. You're telling me that every word of Torah brings holiness into my life. And I'm ready for it and I want it. And then my parents are not letting me go to yeshiva. And what am I supposed to do? Break up my family? And I don't have the intellectual capacity to understand this black and white. I'm trying it 1,000 times. It doesn't sink in. So it's not only the Kohen that has a... You know, the mum is not only the mum of the Kohen. You understand what I'm saying? You understand what the Rebbe is saying? It means... all types of handicaps that we feel have nothing to do with us. Sometimes you have a handicap. Sometimes you're born into a wacky family. You know, you have these dysfunctional families. And you're saying, what's the matter? You know, and you realize you can even detect in yourself like all these difficulties that you might have. And you want to overcome them, and you try to overcome them, and you say, listen. You know it's a problem. You're already at a madriga, you know it's a problem, but you can't get past it. And you try therapy, you try working it out, you try, but there. So why do I have this? Sof kol sof. The third parasha. Well, parasha Hashlishis, he mikoin shenitma, listen to what a deep thing he says. Mikoin shenitma. The third section of Parashas Emor deals with a Kohen who came into contact with something that made him tame. Right? So you know that a Kohen, there are a number of ways that a Kohen can become tame. Not only through a dead body, but through other things as well. So the Kohen became tame, impure. So now here, we're not talking about any kind of a deformity that he has within himself. So he says, now everybody knows that a Kohen who wanted very much to serve in the Beis HaMikdash, we're dealing with a sincere Kohen. Now here, listen to this level of disappointment. The whole parsha is about disappointments. It could break your heart. What's this guy's disappointment? Okay, I'm a Jew. I come from Aaron HaKohen and Kohen. I don't have any mumim. Look at this. I'm great. I'm okay. I can serve in the Beis HaMikdash, right? Great. On the way to the Beis HaMikdash, and he learned, he prepared, he went through all the Mishnayos, he went through the Gemaras, he went through Rambam, and he was in the mikveh. Everything's great. On the way to the Beis HaMikdash, yeah, what happens? Is somebody gets shot next to him. He's Tomei. Chais. A coin has, it's not his fault, something happens. His nitma, he becomes tamay. So he says that you can imagine that such a person prepared himself and purified his heart. He was even so careful with his thoughts. Excuse me? No, not permanently. Okay, but
that moment,
it might be Erev Pesach. It's a Kohen Gadol before Yom Kippur. It's a Kohen Gadol by Yom Kippur. And he made all the hachanis, made all the preparations. You know what it means? You know what it means to be a Kohen Gadol in Yom Kippur, right? Just a little bit when we stand in Yom Kippur, we read the Avodah, we get a little bit of a taste. So Kohen Gadol makes all the preparations. Everything is fantastic, and something completely beyond his control. He's taught me. So now something happened to him that's beyond his control. That this was a chisar and this was some sort of a deficiency that he never expected. Look, at least the person who never has a deformity, we expect it. He comes to terms with it. As a person who has, God forbid, some sort of a problem, over time will usually, with God's help, come to terms with that. With that deficiency, right? With that problem. But this fellow had there's no time at all. Everything was fine, and he's done this before, and he's all excited. And then something happened, and he became Tame. So this is a person whose chisaron was a chisaron that he never expected. It just jumped on him. And because of this, he's taken away from serving Hashem. And the question is also, look, I don't understand. The whole reason I prepared, the whole reason I was learning the Mishnayos and the Rambam and everything, the whole reason I went to the mikveh, the whole reason that I'm psyching myself up and watching every single thought that I've had, and I never looked the wrong place or think the wrong thoughts, was only to serve you. That's the only reason I did that. Because I want to serve you, Hashem. Because if I wanted to be a different person, I could be like anybody else in the world. So why did I try to be better so I could serve you? Right? And then so why'd you send that thing this way, my way, to make me tame? So the Rebbe writes, the Godlo Tsa'akoso. Who can imagine the scream, it's not a loud scream, but inside himself the outcry of such a person. Madula Ozla Hashem Isbok Shalim Ruchak Meavadosa, why couldn't Hashem help me? Isn't there a way that Hashem could have sent that tumah different? Couldn't something have happened? Couldn't Hashem have delayed me 2 minutes from my house that something else would have happened or whatever? Hashem couldn't help me with that. Let's bring it to our level. On our level, it's a davar pasht. It's an obvious thing. Sometimes, I had this just today. I had such a maisa. Just today, a kid came to me. The kid was saying to me, he said to me like this. He said, Rabbi, they always begin first by swearing. Rabbi, I swear to you. I know it's already, it's going to be tzarvis here. So Rabbi, I swear to you, the whole summer I was good. The whole summer I could have had a million aveiros, and I was good. I didn't go to the wrong places. I worked, I went home, I went to shul every morning. Rabbi, I was so good, you'd be so proud of me. And I'm waiting, okay, now let's get to the punchline. Rabbi, I was so good, I swear to you. So then he says, but I can't believe that, like a mazel I have. So he starts to tell us, I said, what's the matter? So he says that there's this girl he knew 3 years ago that hasn't spoken to him, never wrote to him, never called him, and they had this one of these fast things that they shouldn't have had, things were going on between them, and then all of a sudden she calls me up, and she comes by, so, he starts to tell me, whatever, he had problems, he was nichsh. You know something, I have a terumus. I mean, I don't tell him to complain against Hashem, I was talking to him and everything, not to feel bad, and so on, we were talking. But it bothers me. I have a terumus, and listen, Rachel, what do you want from the kid? What do you want from him? He comes from such a background of shmutz, right? And the kid's trying so hard. And he Davka didn't go to a place that's where he thought he would be improperly influenced. He went to a Jewish place to work in a Jewish place, and everything was nice and everything was good. Yeah, you couldn't keep that girl away from 3 years ago, 2 years ago. It had to be such a way. It's a Rachmanis. He didn't have the koiches to deal with that Yitzhar. He just didn't. He didn't have the koich to deal with it. He didn't. I told him that. I spoke about tomorrow. We have to talk about tomorrow. But what happened? It was beyond his koyach now. So what are you bringing him? So why does such a thing happen? You understand? Here's a person. So he's not a Balmud. Good. And he's trying to serve Hashem. Fine. Now, why is this tumah walking into my life now? Not that God forbid the girl's tummy. She just has her own thing. I mean, she's tummy. But what's this tumah, this inyan coming into my life that I thought I was finished with? So here a kohen goes to the mikveh. He finishes all tumas. Everything is gone. He prepares his heart. He purifies himself. And there walks into his life a tumah. Shachmanis. It's a terumis. It's a complaint in the heart. Where a person is trying to get better. A person is trying to get better. Yeah.
Right.
Look, the Rebbe spoke about that many times. We discussed that, and the Swarm are filled with these things. That the thing that you have to become greatest, and Hashem will test you. And Hashem, you're able to stand up to the test. We know the Chazal told us that Hashem never tests. Right? Just like you and I wouldn't, if we see a vessel that's cracked, we wouldn't try to test to see if it could hold anything. We could see it's cracked. So know that Hashem doesn't give us a test that's beyond our capabilities. Afal pichein. This is all true. Afal pichein, a person could feel it's not fair. Right? Afal pichein. I mean, I know from my own experiences. I don't know, maybe you don't. I know from my own experiences. I don't have... wasn't there a way to work it out? There's a way to work it out. That's the third parasha. Sub-parasha in Parasha Samor. The story of this unfortunate Kohen who for no reason of his own, and nothing was wrong, and suddenly he becomes Tameini, and he says, you know, he comes to Beis HaMikdash, get out of here, you can't come here, you're out. Four. Parasha Revius, Hu Mimume Korban. Now, the fourth section of Parasha Zemar deals with animals that have deformities or blemished. The carbon that's a balmum. So here, listen to this taina. Listen to this taina. She yeshed, the word there's, the print didn't come out. She yeshed sa'aka, belev bailov. This is still from the old, I had first said this before from the old one. She yeshed sa'aka, belev bailov, madu yanchilo, shemes brach toivir, chush kazesh, liyuchel hakrivaylov. So this is a different kind of a complaint. This is the complaint of a person. Well, it doesn't lav dafka kohen, but this person. Let's imagine this scenario. The person is not really wealthy. Has worked very very hard. Has worked very hard to be able to finally come to a point in his or her life to say that I would like to give a gift to the Beis HaMikdash. Right. So I'd like to designate this behemoth for a korban in the Beis HaMikdash. Baruch Hashem. He's all excited. This is going to go on the mizbeach. My animal's going to go on the mizbeach. He's so excited. Now, what I worked for, what I struggled for, I'm able to return to the master of the world, right? And that's the greatest honor and privilege that we could give back to Hashem, what he gave to us. So what happens? She comes out to see how his behemoth is doing. The behemoth is messed up. The behemoth has a mum. So there are different kinds of mum. I'll get to the halachas. There are different kinds of mum. Yeah, it has to be checked. The behemoth has a mum. And he can't bring it to Hashem. So tell him he could maybe there's something else he could do. A nafki minute. Why? There's a terumus in the heart. In other words, I wanted to serve you. Let's bring this to ourselves. Let's use an example for this. I'm just trying to think of things that, you know, that happen over the years, you know, and people that I meet and complaints, tainas. How about a person that works hard? Any religious parent has to spend a large percentage of his salary to pay for tuitions and things like that. So a person, after all the work, you pay the tuition for the kid, he could say, Bershon, listen, I'm only doing it that my child should be Jewish. I could send the kid to another place, I wouldn't have to pay, or we could figure something out. But I'm only doing that my child should know there's a Bershon Shalom in this world. To be able to say Shema Yisrael, to learn a Black Gemara, to read a Navi. So Sofkosof, I did it for your sake. The terumas that a person has when you spend all that money and you don't see hatslacha. Like you don't see that it works. You don't see the hatslacha. You invest in a tzedakah and then you felt cheated. You felt ripped off. It didn't become. It has a mum. has a mum. The tarumas, the complaint of a parent who feels that the child is not receiving, let's say there's a teacher, and the teacher's not giving, it's not, like I had, I once found out about a certain teacher that was disappearing from the room every 15 minutes for coffee and stuff. You know, you would do the same thing maybe if you'd be a teacher. God forbid. I'm not saying we should do that, God forbid. But if you hear that your kid's teacher's walking in every 15 minutes for a coffee break, you want to grab the teacher by the neck, by the throat. Why? My son? My daughter? I'm paying thousands of dollars that my child should be a Jew. And it doesn't work because of people like you. It's terumas. There's a terumas. Sometimes a person spends money to be able to have life that should be a little bit more comfortable. Why? There's a person who has a das. You should be able to learn and to be better to have children, to have a little harchava. And then things go wrong and it doesn't work out. There's disappointments in business. Disappointments in business. A person can say, "Rabbi, I invested money in a business. Why? You know, I promise you, Hashem, if you give me $500,000, you'll see what I would do with it. You'll see, I'll give to the yeshiva, I'll send to Shari Tzedek, I'll fix up 100 kalas, right? And then what happens? Your business falls apart. It's like, I don't understand. I'm telling you, I have for you, Rabbi Yisrael, everything collapses. So terumas. There's terumas in the heart. There's a terumas. There's a complaint. It hurts. Because you feel like the Rebbeinu Shlomo is not helping you. You feel like he's rejecting you. He's not helping you to serve him. That's the fourth parsha. The fifth, I think, is so amazing. Parsha ha-chamish yisu mizevach toida shenema bo biyom ahu yochel. Hainu sh'odem uchuyiv losis haidol al sh'orah v'litzok al ahava. There's a korban toda. Everybody knows that that's the Thanksgiving offering that we give to Hashem. One of the good things happened to us. A person was sick and got better. A person was in prison and got out and so on. So a person offers a korban toda. Now the din is by a korban toda. It says, "Bayomahu yeochel." That means the korban toda has to be eaten on that day. On the day of thankfulness. On the day that you bring it, you have to have the whole thing. So, what does that mean? Hainu sha'adam achuyev, the second one in the left column. Hainu sha'adam achuyev losis haidar al sha'avar velitzak al ahaba. Chazal explained this. What does Chazal tell us? That you should know that when you bring a korban toda to thank Hashem for something that happened in the past, it covers you for nothing at all in the future. All it means is that you have thanked Him for what happened. In other words, let's say you got out of an accident, so you bring a korban toda. So you have to eat at that same time. You can't save it for the next day. In other words, you'd like to put it away a little bit for a rainy day, that maybe like a schooler, that it should help me, you know, that I shouldn't have any more problems with car accidents. So Baruch Shalom says, no. I don't know. You bring the korban toda for what happened to you. I took you out of that mess. The korban toda only works for that mess. Tomorrow, there's a new mess. There's a new problem. He says that's the thing that you have to. That what is a korban toda? Thank Hashem for what happened yesterday, and to beg and to scream and to cry that tomorrow should be better. Watch, Hashem doesn't give you any reassurances for the next day. Just because you climb out of this problem does not mean at all that tomorrow you won't have that problem or a different problem. Hashem keeps us continuously in a state of davening and fear and worry. Whoever has a child knows this. Whoever's had a child and knows, you know that with a child how afraid we are all the time. And with a kid, like, you know how many times a child will see, like, the baby will run past some sharp, like some edge, and you go, and the kid you don't say anything, you're about to scream, and the kid goes, and then. The next second I'm worried about the kid going here and going there. There's no end. It's a continuous tefillah in the heart of a parent that my child should be okay. And when do you rest? When do you take it easy? And then when they get married, so they're daigus all the time with parnasa, with the shidduch, is it the right guy, is it the right girl? Until now is good. So you have Baruch Hashem, you brought into the world and you raised a wonderful yeshiva bach or a wonderful Jewish girl. Everything is great. So then all of a sudden, you know, the girl comes home with some idiot. I'm going to marry this guy. See? look, I took care of the kid for 20 years. I was doing the best I could. Look what a wonderful child I brought up. Look at this child I brought up. A gewaltige child. And all my carbon tithes and all the stock I've given, all the thanks, Hashem, I've given you for giving me such a child, couldn't help me out for this. I couldn't work out for tomorrow already. That I shouldn't have to worry what's going to be because I don't know about this shidduch. It's not a good shidduch. So the parent is always filled with tefillah. The parent is always filled with yir, with fear, with terror. Therefore, you're not allowed to leave any of the flesh, any of the meat, any of the carbon tall. You're not allowed to leave for the next day. This causes there to be a scream, a complaint in the hearts of human beings. Why can't Hashem give us a little feeling of security? Hashem, why can't you strengthen our hearts a little bit? Why can't you give me a little sign, an indication that you'll be with me? I believe in you, I trust you. Why can't you strengthen my life that I should be able to feel some security and certainty for tomorrow? But Hashem himself says you can't. The carbon told us what happened, but for tomorrow, you have to scream. Chazal say that. So when will we know that everything was for the best? So in the future when Mashiach will come, everything we'll know is for the best. So it says, David Mel said, Mizmor Shir, Liyayim HaShabbos, that's talking about when Mashiach comes. Toiv lahoydis l'Hashem l'zam l'shimcha elyayin. So Toiv lahoydis l'Hashem, then we'll be able to thank Hashem completely. And what does that mean? So then afterwards it says, Toiv lahoydis l'Hashem, it's good to give thanks to Hashem l'zam l'shimcha elyayin. The Rebbe writes, l'zam l'shimcha elyayin ki b'mokim sh'Hashem esbaruch yinahig l'mayla miseichel odom azikra elyayin. Which means, when Mashiach will come, then Hashem will show us retroactively that all that He did for us was good. All that happened to us was good. In other words, when we'll be able to bring a korban todah at the end of time on everything, on anything that in our lives we saw as being horrible, as being miserable, we'll be able to bring a korban todah. But it's lazam l'shimcha elyon. Shimcha elyon means that way of Hashem that's beyond us. It transcends us. So one day, we'll sing to Hashem's transcendent name. Like I told you once before, the word from the old Kabrina that he said, why does it say Nachmu Nachmu Ami twice? Why does it say Nachmu Nachmu Ami, be consoled? So the Kabrina said, when Mashiach will come, so Hashem is going to console us, he's going to show us that really there was a good reason for all the terrible things that happened. So that's the first Nachmu, be consoled. And what's the second Nachmu? The second Nachmu is that Hashem's going to tell us, I'm still sorry. Because I know you don't... even though I explained it to you, I'm sorry that I put you through it. Because even though it was for your good, you know, even with a child, it's... Even though it's for the child, it's good. And you explain to the child. A parent knows you have very little... There's very little consolation in explaining to the kid why you whacked him. I want you to understand why I had to do that to you, son. I mean, it's... So the kid says, okay, I understand. Afal pichein, there was something ugly that shouldn't have had to be, and the child is pained by it. Even though the child understands it intellectually, they deserve the patch. Good nachamu. Now you understand why you got the patch. You understand? You understand how it was good for you? If I wouldn't have given you the patch, you would have turned out to be like this and like that. So every kid says, yeah, I understand. But still, it hurt me. So there's a terumus in the heart. I mean, there's a complaint. That's the fifth section of the parasha is the korban todah. That we have nothing to rely upon for the future. We have no idea. We can only thank Hashem. We saw something good that happened in the past. We can thank Him for what happened. But that never gives us the security and the feeling of closeness to be confident enough in Hashem that just because something good, He did to me something nice yesterday, that He'll keep me out of trouble for tomorrow. You have to scream, you have to daven, you have to be in a state of fear and terror. You never know what's going to happen. That's the beginning of the parasha. Then all of a sudden, there's one of the big mysteries of Torah. All of a sudden, the Torah stops all of this, and then Torah goes into Yontif, starts talking about all the Yontifs, right? It's Parshas Shemot, Torah starts talking about Yontifs. Good, Pesach, Sukkot, Shavuos, Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, beautiful. Now look at this, what he says here. This is such a Ruach HaKodesh, so I'm just jumping off the page. So he says, V'neged HaChamisha, in the big letters there, V'neged HaChamisha Parashis Noslehem L'Yisrael Chamisha Parashis Moyadais. So Hashem gave us five beautiful Yontifs. Five beautiful, beautiful Yontifs. V'em T'kufus La'adam. The word here is T'kifus, really. It gives a man strength. These five yontifs are supposed to give us encouragement, because life is filled with these five types of disappointments and complaints. So Hashem gave us five yontifs. And Hashem is telling us, listen, I can't tell you now. There are things that you can't understand. Why you have a mum? Why you can't trust in me enough for the why life is so uncertain? Why is it that you became, something came your way without you planning it and so on? Hashem says, I'm sorry, I really can't tell you that. But I'm giving you five yontifs. Five yontifs to try to infuse within you some simcha in the midst of this unexplainable thing that I'm putting you through. Hashem gave us five things to hold on to. Five thoughts, five yontifs, five feelings, five reassurances just to tell us, hang in there. So he goes to listen how he explains each one. This is Mamash here to talk for a few hours.
He's not doing it chronologically the way the others are.
Let's see the order. One, so he says, Hashem tries to take away from our hearts these. Hashem gives us these yontas to take away these complaints from our hearts. Neged parasha rishona corresponds to the first parasha, the parasha of Tumas Meis. Parashas Pesach. Listen to this, Pesach. It's in the order that it's in the Chumash. Parashas Pesach. Ki Pesach hu hascholas ha'ara ha'shemes baruch hu ha'noisen chayim li'Yisrael. Look, he says that Pesach is the antidote. I shouldn't call it the antidote or the cure, but it calms us down from the anger of Misa, of death. Why? So the Rebbe explains here that the first life that Hashem showed the Jewish people was Pesach. We understand what that means. First of all, on a very simple level, everybody knows that Egyptian culture was completely obsessed with death. Anybody that has had the slightest contact with any most superficial study of Egyptian culture, which is me, knows that the place was obsessed with death. Obsessed with death. It was the whole Havadah Zorah, the whole Chiyus was death. All of life is preparing for death. So on a very simple level, Hashem took us out, which is the Lashon Chazal regarding the Hallel that we say by Pesach. Hashem took us out from death. Hashem took us out from slaveness. Hashem took us out from darkness. Hashem took us out from head there, from not having, from being denied, which is death. There's a slow death and there's a fast death. And Hashem showed us that first sign of life, that He's a living God and that He's with us, He's alive with us in our problems, and He took us out from death to life. He took us out from Mitzrayim. You know, Mitzrayim is from the word Mitzrayim, which means, Mitzrayim means to be constricted, to be stuck into some place, to feel that you're suffocating. In Mitzrayim we were suffocating, physically and spiritually we were suffocating. And then suddenly in one night, and the Jewish people were able to breathe. We were given life. Therefore, death, which troubles us so much, because death takes away from us all happiness, death takes away from us all hope, death frightens us. Yetzias Mitzrayim Pesach is the reminder that the same God who brings death so often during life will just remember that during life, and pay attention, so many times will take you out from darkness to light. So many times he'll pull you out of a personal exile and send you into a little bit of a redemption. And that's a taste of life, mamish. He takes you out from those situations. That's Pesach. When they say Chaim Li'Yisrael. Shavuos, who neged Parshas Balmum. So the second parasha in Emor is the Balmum, the Kohen who has this deformity. So that's Shavuos. Ki b'matan Torah nisrapo kol balimumin. So everybody remembers, but Chazal tell us that by matan Torah, the Torah was given to Har Sinai, all people who were sick and all who were blemished were cured. All blemishes were taken away by Har Sinai. Shavuos yerek Hashem esbaruch yerpa hakol shiyelatayv. Shavuos is the reassurance that everything in the world has a refuah, that Hashem has a refuah. On a deeper level, it's the reassurance that Torah is a cure for everything. Like the Gemara says, if your head is hurting, you study Torah. If your stomach's hurting, you study Torah. So how could it be? And I mean, I know, I remember that when I was, when we were in camp, when we were kids, no matter what happened to you, they told you to take Aspergum. You remember the thing, Aspergum? They make a difference. You could have whatever you had, you went to the infirmary and they gave you Aspergum. So there's a pellet to me that no matter what machla anybody had, they always gave you the same refuah. That only works for Torah. The Moral explains that the Torah is true. The Torah is mamish refu. The Torah has even the Isis, as the Reb Leib Leiger points out, and you know, if Torah and refu, there's a connection between Torah and refu. The Torah, Ani Hashem Reifecha. So by Har Sinai we became cured. What did the Torah do for Klal Yisrael? The Torah took a people who were physically living in this, passing through history, mamish in the most impoverished way physically. And look what the Torah did for us. Look what the Torah did for us, that we learned Torah, that we received the Torah. We have the Lonam HaTorah and Arsalan Torah Zemes, that even the Jew who lives in the worst poverty, even the Jew whose life is so physically deformed, feels infinitely more gifted and more blessed because he has the Torah. The Torah is mamash refuah on all levels. It's a sam chaim, it's a life-giving drug. And Shavuos posh, Shavuos brought a refuah. So therefore, since Har Sinai once happened, and it's going to happen again, so it's the reassurance that all deformities, all sicknesses are temporary. And Hashem is going to bring a refuah. And even now in this world, you could find a refuah. I mean, Friday night, when you say Eishes Chayil, you should thank Hashem. You should thank Hashem for giving the Torah. For giving us the Torah. That's such a beautiful, perfect Torah that He gave us. And the Jew stops on Friday night. You think about that. No matter what went wrong during the week, and no matter how much physical difficulties you had during the week, a Jew at least has the presence of mind Friday night by the table to say, "Eishes Chayil Miyimsa, V'rachim Yipninim Mechvas," that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us the Torah that is so beautiful and lifts us up so much. It lifts us up. It takes us out of all that darkness and all that misery and all physical sorrows. Because the Jewish people, a Jewish person has an inner world that is mamish alive with Torah, to keep them alive. So that's Shavuos. Rosh Hashanah, who neged parashas Tameh. So Rosh Hashanah corresponds to the problem of that fellow, who everything was okay, and then all of a sudden he met up with some tumah. So Hashem sent some impurity his way. Ki Tameh hu atzvus. We taught by the Ariya Kodesh that the greatest source of impurity in the world is sadness. Asvas. When a person is sad, when a person is depressed, then that person is so vulnerable, any tum in the world can enter into that person's life. When a person is besimcha, ki besimcha seitzeyum. With joy, a person is able to overcome all attempts to defile him. But when a person is depressed, when a person is in a state of despair, so look, it says Beferish and Swam, the whole Indian of a person not being able to guard his holiness, the most potent enemy of holiness, the most powerful enemy of holiness in this Indian, which I don't want to talk about in this matzav here, is sadness. When a person is depressed, you have no kaiches. When you have no kaiches, you can't fight against the side of evil. Tumah is when your defenses are down. When a person is sad, when a person is filled with despair, the defenses are down. She says, "Val zehu b'rosh Hashanah mitzvus tkiyah shofar shliyavu le'adam shmur shi'igiloi shli'igim mimenu atzvus." What does the shofar mean? What does Rosh Hashanah mean? Rosh Hashanah means, listen, whatever went wrong, start again. It's okay. Rosh Hashanah means a shofar. What does a shofar mean? Shofar comes from the word shapir. It comes from the word shifra. Shohaisim shaperis es avlad. Shofra means you can improve. Shapru ma'aseichem. You could change. Shifra means that whatever God you said before, it's a new, we're opening up a new, it's a new story. Starting again. It's a new story. Shifra means you're free. Just like in the Yovel, the shofar is being blown to say that you're free. Everybody returns to the shofar. You're free. You're not stuck. Don't be sad. Whatever happened until now, you're not stuck in it. Shofar, Rosh Hashanah means starting again. Hayom Harasaylam. It's the birthday of the world. It's the birthday of man. Hashem's gonna erase everything that was. Don't be sad. So when a person is able to escape from sadness with the blowing of the shofar that brings all who are slaves and causes all slaves to become free, when a person is able to escape sadness, some imela, tuma, impurity is something that vanishes. It's nothing. It means nothing. Four of Yom HaKippurim, Yom Kippur Neged Mumi HaKarban. Yom Kippur corresponds to the blemishes, the deformities of a korban, of a sacrifice. Why? When a person has a complaint, remember the person has this complaint. Look, I spent the money, I have everything ready, and it didn't work out. There's the one day of the year, Yom Kippur, when all physical things become meaningless to you. When we turn away from all physical things, completely away. So the Torah has promised that if a Jew sincerely on that one day of the year is able to turn his eyes towards Hashem and turn his eyes away from the physical world, which is what Yom Kippur is all about, then Hashem consoles the person, he tries to take out some of the terumas from his heart, and he tells the person, listen, you want to know why physical life doesn't work out for you? I'll tell you why. I know that you have a complaint against me. It's because you're too caught up in it. Yom Kippur is the reassurance that you're not meshubit, that you're not enslaved to the physical world. Fine. If you're not enslaved to the physical world, and you really sincerely want to serve me with the physical world, as you showed me on Yom Kippur, as you showed me that you're able to do on Yom Kippur, that you're able to turn away from physical life and to turn to me in a pure way, then if you could do that, then I'll give you physical things, and I'll make them count. I'll give you more physical things. I'll give you more panos, I'll give you more. And I'll make it count. It'll go to the right place. It'll be in the right way. Nachum, I just have to ask, let's just please finish. I'm worried that we're going to be stuck with the terumas. So let's just finish the last one, and I'll come back to you. Hold on a second. Uneged toida, the last one, the korban toida, that a person has no reassurance for tomorrow. Ha'inu sha'adam tzarech lias tamid b'yir, right? That we have to always be in fear. We're always afraid. We don't know what the future brings. Negin said, "Nitin lahem mitzvah sukkah." So Hashem gives the mitzvah sukkah. This is obvious. Hain the Shemesh Baruch Yogin Aladim v'Yaki Feisay v'Chagas Sukkas Nikkus Man Simchaseinu. Hain the Shemesh Baruch Yitin Simcha Aladim b'After Chosos Shleiyazav Yisrael. Sukkas is amazing. Sukkas is Hashem puts us in His place. He says, "Leave the house, come into My house." And Hashem, His paris alin sukkash. Sukkas Racham Mechayim Mishalom, that Hashem surrounds us with the sukkah, which is called the Tzeilid Ben Husa. It's called the shade of faith, that Hashem protects us. And Hashem tells us, I know you have a complaint against me, but I'm telling you that if you go through it with all your heart, so Hashem Yisbaruch says, and you try to remove the terumas from your heart, Hashem has a yomtiv called sukkas, where the sukkah protects you. And that's why it's Zman Simchaseinu. Because the reason that our simcha is never complete is because, although something happened that was nice to me yesterday, what does that mean for tomorrow? So the sukkah is the reminder that no matter what happens to you, this you have to know, that Hashem is embracing you. Every moment of your life, He surrounds you. That's what the sukkah does. Every moment, He's holding you. Yes, Nachum?
Two thoughts about why Yom Kippur would accomplish that. One is because you get a kapara mitzvah from
Yom. Right.
You don't even need material things to work. The other possibility is that tzedakah is one of the ingredients that brings the kapara.
Right.
And so there your material wealth does good for you.
There it worked. It counted.
It worked.
It went to the right place. It's a very, very, very good horror. That the Indian of tzedakah, how powerful it is for Yom Kippur, that tzedakah is so powerful. And Hashem says every penny that you gave, whatever you did that was good, does count. It is a kapara. That's a mamish important point. That even the things in the physical world that didn't work out for you, You know that they're a kapara and Yom Kippur Hashem, on the, but it's only on the day that you completely remove yourself from physical things and you're not dependent upon them that Hashem reminds you that don't worry, I made everything count. Even those things that didn't work out, you know, with the money and all the things you wanted to do, and it didn't work out, in my book it worked out. I have a cheshbon. But you need that one day where you're removed from physical things so that basically what you're doing in Yom Kippur is you're showing Hashem that I live, sof kol sof, I live for your sake. Because it's for you and I to sit here and to, you know, that we're going to get more things in this world and to say, well, the only reason I want these things is to serve Hashem. You know, it's a hard case to prove. But when you stand on Yom Kippur and you say, and here's the proof, the evidence is that I could be the richest Jew in the world, but Yom Kippur, I'm sitting here with the rest of my brothers and sisters starving myself. So the most important thing to me in my life is not the physical things, it's serving you. Abba Zoi, if that's the case, then Hashem says, okay, then I'm then go back into life and take the physical things, and I'm going to help you use them in a good way to see in your own life that they count, to see that the things do count, that everything counts, and everything works. Well, that's the... After all of this, it's still hard not to have a terumas. It's still not to have a terumas. The, you know, like the tzaddikim taught that, according to one opinion of Chazal, the first the chet took place with a grape. It says that Chava bit off a piece of a grape and gave it to Adam Arish. He squeezed the wine for Adam Arish, and so that's on Shabbos. We try to come back to Gan Eden. So Shabbos we make kiddush over wine. So the tzaddikim say, you know how a grape feels? The grape is the most beautiful fruit. You know, it's the most praiseworthy fruit in the world is a grape, right? It's a solid grape. How do you make wine? You stamp on it. You crush it. So while the grape says, whoa, what are you doing? I'm a grape, what are you doing? Go for an apple or something. I'm a grape, I'm the most choshev fruit in the world. What are you stepping on me? Vad, a minute. There's going to be wine. You see, we live in such a way that Hashem told us we're His people, we're the most chosen, the most beautiful, the most precious, and then we're stepped on all the time, crushed. So that we have to feel that, we have to believe in that reassurance that Vatibus. So every Shabbos we make kiddush after a whole week of being crushed, you know. You make kiddush on the wine. You make kiddush on the wine. It's a chizik for a Jew to make kiddush on the wine. To even misak in that which went wrong. Because all of our tzaras comes from feeling crushed. That's why we turn away. So we lift it up. We mamish lift it up to the Rabbanu Shalom. So we believe that sof kol sof, just like this grape was crushed to become wine, so too we believe that if any moment of my life where I was crushed is to bring me to a madrega that I should be fitting for a good boy, Pierre Geffen. Well, we should be able to, we should be zoichet to see these things instead of talking about them.